Talk about our treasure state here today. Mining is so huge in Montana. It's important to the state, the country, the world as well. And that importance has been growing when we look at critical minerals and where we're going with our energy sector. We look at the war in Iran, right? And we think about, well, how we know it impacts our oil market. Is it impacting our critical minerals market? It is, maybe to an interesting degree here that we'll talk about. Does this then have an impact on Montana's Stillwater mine and how important that mine is to operations and the economy in Montana? We go into that today with Heather McDowell, Vice President of Legal and External Affairs for Sibanye Stillwater. You know, these are not tough, but there's some tough circumstances that surround our global markets for critical minerals. And as I mentioned a bit later on, you know, Montana experiencing one of the most significant housing shortages in its history. So Forrest Mandeville will get onto that. But we're going to pick up today about critical minerals here because we're hearing some notes of Sibanye Stillwater and some rehiring there. You're looking at the cost of and the cost to produce, but also the price of these critical minerals, palladium and platinum, the PGM groups there for Sibanye Stillwater. And they do fluctuate, right? So let's get an idea of where we're at with this. There's no one better. Heather McDowell joins us here, Vice President for Legal and External Affairs at Sibanye Stillwater. And Heather, thank you so much. First, how are you doing, Heather?
Good morning, Tom. Well, I'm always fantastic when I'm on your show, right? Oh. So, yes, it's a great day. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. And I just want to say there are a lot of companies out there that have reservations about public appearances and things like that. But you guys have, and especially yourself, you've made yourself available and you've always been forthcoming with a lot of things here too. And I know business is tough and business is serious. You can't always go out and just say, hey, this is everything that we do and everything that we are. But thank you so much. I don't know how to say it outside of, I appreciate that from this perspective.
Yeah, we're happy to do it. We have been through a rough patch over the last few years. We would not have made it without our towns here, without the communities where we operate, without employees sticking with us, really without our local, state, federal elected officials have been enormously helpful. And so we've really, I think, pulled out of a very, very deep valley with only the help of everyone around us. So I know not everyone likes to hear all the actual news. Sometimes it isn't what people want to hear, right? But we've got a good plan going forward and we're really happy to share it. You know, we're a publicly traded company. We're reporting our financial and operating information quarterly. And we really think we want people to understand what's happening. So we are very happy to let you know exactly what's going on at our operation. So well, that is not a problem at all, and we're happy people are listening.
And one thing we get is, you know, the price of the material that you're producing to produce it, and then the cost you're getting for it, right? That next dollar, so to speak. I think we get that, and this is where we're interested in kind of getting updated right now, because we see in 20 and 2021, not just palladium and platinum, but there was a lot of critical minerals that jumped up in value that had a lot to do with the surging demand because of electricity transmission, but also geopolitical competition, and then supply chains and essentials. So update us on those costs and how they impact your mine specifically.
So we are thrilled that critical minerals are such a hot topic, both in DC and really everywhere. You could just put it into your whatever search engine you use and get a plethora of information that would not have shown up 5 years ago. This is a recent thing. People have started caring about it only quite recently. And what we're doing is producing elements on the periodic table. If you go back to maybe for some of us, those really tragic moments of high school chemistry and think about your periodic table, all of those are coming from somewhere. We can't do alchemy yet. We would be happy if we could, but we can't make those elements. We actually have to go out and find them. And so here, the issue is really that when we're producing platinum, palladium, and a little bit of rhodium, and we're largely palladium reliant, we are the only primary palladium producer in the world, the only entity going out trying to produce palladium first. It's 78% of our production, both in our recycle and our mining operations. So everything really depends on palladium. But when you think about producing that element on the periodic table, it's exactly like the others that are produced, whether you're recycling it, mining it, our operations where we think things are done in a very, very sustainable way, or you're getting it from Russia, it's the same exact element. It has to be. It looks exactly the same. You can't like isotope analysis it and say that ounce of palladium came from those Stillwater operations. It's the same thing. So then when you start looking at that, the price becomes everything. You can't physically differentiate this product. Mm-hmm. So we started looking back in 2022 when the price dropped. We were producing then well over $1,500 an ounce. And when I talk about our costs, what we do is use a basket price. So it's really the market basket that you send off to market. For us, it's 78% palladium, 22% platinum, and then a tiny little amount of rhodium. And you send off a two-element basket of platinum and palladium from our mining operations and a three-element basket at the recycle operations, platinum, palladium, the little bit of rhodium. And then you really are just bound by price for how you're doing. So we were producing back in 2022 well over $1,500 an ounce. Prices then had been good from 2018 forward. We had been able to use the cash that we made to move over onto the west or the east side of the Stillwater mining operations, which is where we're currently mining now. And times were good for us for a few years. However, the price started to drop and it dropped well down below $1,500 an ounce. It just kept going down. A year ago today, on March 25th, 2025, palladium was at $978 an ounce. By then, we had gotten our costs down a bit, but you can do the math there, and it's very bad math. For 2.5 years, we did not make money. We lost about $400 million. Thankfully, we have a parent company. Our operations in South Africa include PGMs, platinum, palladium, and rhodium, but they're much heavier on rhodium and platinum, and those prices had come up a bit. And so when we started to look at what we were going to do, had we been standalone operations, I think the only answer would have been that we were closing the operations because there was such a delta between our production costs of, you know, over $1,500. We got this down into the $1,400 around that time. And then the basket price that we were getting and the palladium price being under $1,000. That was an impossible equation. Mm-hmm. So we started to look at if we can't physically differentiate our product, which is not possible when you're selling an element on the periodic table, how can we legally or jurisdictionally differentiate it? And at the same time, our teams here were really laser focused on getting our costs down. So we have a whole team of incredibly smart folks, everyone from our expert miners to our general foreman, our mining engineers, everyone on these teams to figure out how could we get our costs down. And the goal has been stated since then. We've been very clear with the market, really with all of our stakeholders. We need to get our costs down to $1,000 an ounce. We need to be able to produce at $1,000 an ounce for that basket ounce of 78% palladium, 22% platinum. And that's what the teams are working on. But at the same time, I think we realized we really have to try to do something about the market because we believed it was a market. At that time, we started looking at Russian imports, mm-hmm. which were going up immensely. So in between 2022 and 2024, Russian imports went up 35%. The price of palladium dropped 50%. And so we really started to look at what options we would have. The plan really for seeing if we can get a market to become sustainable for us long term was to continue to look at our tax credits, which were eligible for a tax credit in the Inflation Reduction Act. That is a very, very helpful credit. We're just waiting for the first round of it from 2023, our 2023 tax return to come through. And it's a 10% production tax credit. That will be immensely helpful to us. Mm-hmm. Essentially, you can get a return of 10% of all of your costs. In 2023, we spent $700 million on our mining operations. So that's paying our people, which is about $300 million wages and benefits, and then also buying goods and services from vendors, most of them local. About half of those are in Montana, and we spent $700 million doing that. So for the mining operations, we should get a $70 million return, which will be very helpful. And then on the recycle side, that year we bought about $700 million worth of recycled material, and that's also eligible for the credit. So we really focused on that tax credit. We started to look at trade remedies. Are we, under U.S. law, being subjected to Russian imports that are not legal? And so we hired, I think, the best team of trade lawyers in Washington, D.C., and they started running the numbers. And they started to, you know, look pretty suspicious. So after a lot of work on that case, we filed it on July 30th last year with the numbers that we had researched. You know, really did appear that Russian imports were being dumped into the U.S. market, and also that the Russian government was subsidizing the Russian producer. So that case has now gone through a preliminary phase. Yeah. There's really two parallel cases going on. And so just in the last couple of months, we have gotten preliminary tariffs imposed on Russian palladium imports. So now if you wanted to import an ounce of Russian palladium, you would have to pay your counterparty the price of the palladium and then pay 243% of that to U.S. Customs to essentially get your ounce of palladium out of Hawk at Customs. So when we filed that case, the imports actually stopped. Whoever was importing, you know, was probably concerned about the case. It's hard to know exactly what they were thinking, but they stopped importing Russian palladium. That was end of July 2025. And then in September, the palladium market really came back, and it came back in a way that I think we've talked about some pretty hard things. But I think when we, if we could get to those prices, it came back to about $1,600 to $1,800 an ounce. That's a very sustainable place. So now today, the market this morning is at $1,454 an ounce for palladium. That's okay. Like, we can keep doing what we're doing. We can survive at that price. We're hoping that that drop from the $1,600 to $1,800 range down to $1,450 is really a product of what's happening internationally in general. I think everything has come off since the last few weeks, international activities, and we're hoping that that drop in the palladium market is consistent with everything else that's happening and not something unusual right. or unique to palladium. So we're in a good spot now, Tom.
You know, and thanks for that. And it calls to mind. And we're with Heather McDowell again, who is the it's such a long title. I had to write it down somewhere.
Yeah. I'm just with the mind, Tom. That's good enough.
Yeah. And a good friend of the program as well, Vice President for Legal and External Affairs. But man, you got deep Montana roots. You're raised in a ranch and a rodeo family. You got a family yourself. So, you know, the kids are off to Little Britches Rodeos and I've been with Sibanye Stillwater for a number of years. I think you were like pregnant, weren't you, when you first started this job?
Yeah, I don't recommend starting a job pregnant with twins, but I wouldn't have missed this job for anything. So I was happy to do it. Yeah, I've been saying now the market is back, so it's not quite as true. But the last few years, you know, who would think that you would rather be raising cattle than palladium, right?
Right, yeah.
So I'm very, very happy. We actually have a lot of people who work for us who have, you know, egg operations as well. So I'm thinking at least the cattle market is strong during the times that palladium was not strong. But it is, our operations are a lot like running a ranch. You're 100% bound to a commodity market that it feels like you have very little control over. I think we're hopeful that the actions we've taken with our trade case and really the way that the government is looking at the need for critical minerals, we're hoping we will be able to impact those markets a little bit to make them sustainable. You know, we have...
That's my question. Let me ask it about demand. I mean, because we look at the energy transition, which has really spiked demand for a lot of these critical minerals, but that is may not be on a sustainable future path as well. So there's a lot of things, I think, that impact that. But when you look overall at palladium, I think we understand, like you noted, there's not too many producers in the world. What do you forecast for demand? And you know, when you see that forecast on paper, what does that translate to the mine in Columbus and elsewhere, Big Timber?
So demand is looking good. All of our platinum and palladium, to a large extent, there's probably a few ounces here and there used for other applications, but ours is going to make catalytic converters. So platinum and palladium are catalysts. They are elements who keep their elemental characteristics while changing the elemental characteristics of other elements on the periodic table. So they essentially remove NOx from your emission stream in your vehicle. They can also be used for that type of catalyst pollution control at power plants, refineries. But almost all of our material goes to U.S. car manufacturers or the entities who make their catalytic converters that are, that then go into U.S. autos. All of ours is used for that. So ours is a pretty traditional element when you look at, you know, again, the periodic table. It's being used in combustion engines. And there is a huge place for palladium in hydrogen fuel cells and in some other applications for non-combustion engines. But our bread and butter is the combustion engine. And we think that over the last few years, the life of the combustion engine has gotten much, much stronger. And demand for PGMs, for platinum, palladium, and rhodium is strong. It appears over the next few years that it will be strong. And I think it has, I don't know that as with many of these things, that anything has actually changed. But I think when you're viewing a long-term supply and demand curve, I think the view on combustion engines is much stronger than it was a few years ago. Yeah. I don't know that we ever believed that the move to battery electric vehicles was going to happen as was predicted. And so I'm not sure that anything actually changed again, but because there were analysts who believed that would happen and, you know, there was a lot of reporting on it, I think it really did cause there to be a belief that the world would adopt more battery electric vehicles sooner. And that just doesn't appear to be the case. And I think the greatest thing about our operations is that they have such a long life. Most hard rock mines, when you start talking about mine life, it's 10 years or 15 years, maybe 2 decades. We have documented reserves and resources under SEC regulations going out into the 2050s. And that is a very rare thing. And so what we are trying to do here now that our prices are back and we can sustain our operations and we can plan for the future is trying to match our operations with the life of our ore body. So we have the highest grade ore body in the world. We have platinum and palladium in concentrations that are 3 times greater than any other, you know, physical location.
Yeah.
In the world.
Yeah.
And they go on for, you know, for a very long time, past our SEC regulated reserves and resources. We can employ generations of people to do this work. We just have to make sure that we can, just like if you're running a ranch or any other operation that's heavy on capital spend, you really have to make sure that you don't mistime that capital spend and run out of money so that, you know, if you make your operations too big when the market isn't strong enough to sustain it, you can't afford what it will cost to do that. So right now we have smaller operations. We unfortunately had to lay off 640 people in 2024. And we know the big question is, well, when are you bringing them back?
Yeah.
And in the long term, that has to be the plan. I mean, the way you survive long-term mining and the way you know, frankly, make money mining is through volume. So we have to get those people back to work. We have to start producing those ounces, but we can't do it now because we don't have an operational plan that allows us to have low enough costs to survive another price hit. So, you know, well, palladium was at $1,800 for a couple of weeks. It was at $1,600 to $1,800 for a couple of months. Now it's back at $1,450. If we were to right now, the way that we would hire people back is to open the west side of the Stillwater mine back up. That's where the work would be. If, you know, right now that would cost about $1,500 an ounce to produce somewhere in that neighborhood. That's kind of an estimate. But, you know, you can see that the math doesn't work. So what we're engaged in right now is a transformation of our mining operation. We've had very historically, our mining operations have not changed much. We opened the Stillwater mine in 1986, and we've been mining, you know, largely the same way over time. It's our 40th year. And we need to go to a mining operation that is more mechanized. We have used, individual miners kind of mining in one stope using a jack leg, and it has worked very well for our very small ore vein. It's like a 7-foot vein of high concentration PGMs, kind of like chasing the chocolate or the frosting of a layer cake around in a mountain. And so it has worked to do, you know, where one person kind of does everything and you're using a jackleg in small spaces. But what we're really working on now is a plan to mechanize our operations. I think it will be safer for people. It will allow us to do task mining where you can really plan for your shift. You can, you know, I think it, the mechanized piece of it, if we can execute it correctly, and that's what we're working on now, it will get us down into that $1,000 an ounce price range. And so we're spending the next probably 2 or 3 years working on that plan, executing it on the east side of the Stillwater mine. And then when we can make that transition to be able to open up the west side of the Stillwater mine again at a cost that's more in the $1,000 a range, that's when people will come back. And the risk of doing it now is you can just see the numbers. So you bring folks back and there would be a huge additional cost in doing that. But then, you know, you look at today, today's price, we would be losing money. And so we think there's a great future where our newly mechanized operations will be able to get down to costs that, that can survive what we're hoping is really any turn in the market that would be predicted.
Thank you so much. I mean, I think that's what we were after here, was to try to understand what your long-term operational plan was as we look at this volatile market, so to speak. And that was a good download for us, Heather. Thank you so much. And again, you know, I can't thank you enough, because it's tough sometimes to speak on these issues in the public. But like you say, wow, it's from the periodic table, and you know, when you've got mostly science to talk about, it's all about the same, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, what we don't want to do. I mean, I'm a corporate lawyer, so I've had to do, you know, lots of things in my career that were not fun, or maybe not what I wanted to do. I've never had to do anything worse than laying off all of those people. I mean, I knew a lot of them. It's the worst thing any of us have ever had to do. We can't make a mistake now and have to do it again.
Thank you, Heather.
So we can't. Yep.
I'm out of time. That's heartfelt. It really is. This avenue is always open to you guys when you have information to share, and then even when you want to have some fun. Okay. I know that's on the docket too. So we'll keep that under wraps, but I'm looking forward to chatting with you down the road, Heather. And thanks again for coming on, and for all the people that you guys employ, and for trying to do it, you know, with the mindset that you're there for the long run. Heather McDowell. Good stuff, Heather. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.